Hi everyone, welcome to the big show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and I guess it's one of those days where I can say I'm so happy to have all of you here with us on the American Tech Network, because the timing today worked out where it's just this side of the Atlantic where people can get well here. And anyhow, Tom, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I think maybe one of us needs to do a Dick Van Esk type of British accent since we don't have any Brits on the show today.
I'm
But
pretty sure
maybe
Dick Van
not.
Dyke's British accent, and for those of you that don't know, well, first, how is that even possible? But Mary Poppins. And Dick Van Dyke has even talked about how horrible his accent was.
It was bad. It was the
Was bad.
worst.
I'm pretty sure it violated Geneva Conventions.
Definitely. He
Yeah.
should have been in prison. If we had an international criminal court, he would have been in jail.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyhow,
Things are
yeah, here.
good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's I feel like this is a very weird time. Oh, okay, it is. Just look at the world in general. It's a very weird time. But here we are. It's February 26th, and I've been able to wear shorts a lot in February. No jacket, windows open most all the time. The trees and bushes around here, they're starting to get buds. My office manager, the cat, she's already shedding her winter coat. And we haven't even gotten to what's supposed to be the snowy season, the heaviest snow season for Colorado. And I think there's a very high likelihood it's just not happening this year.
That's the good news. The bad news is you'll run out of water in July because
Oh
there's no snow.
yeah, and well, and we've been having high winds. So yesterday, as we record, we had a wildfire south of where I live. So that would be in Thornton, I believe. And if you want to look it up, look up the Huron Fire in Colorado for February 25th. And so it was like in the city, a big grass fire started, and with the winds, it took off. They had to do
Right.
evacuations. There were some structures that were damaged. People got injured,
In
and
February.
yeah, the smoke was so heavy that they had to shut down part of I-25,
Wow.
which is I guess technically the major north-south
North-south,
interstate
yeah.
highway for the United States.
Yeah, one of the biggest ones anyway, huh?
Yeah. So it's just that kind of time. But we're here, and you haven't had any major earthquakes in California, so at least there's that.
Recently, yeah, just small ones.
Yeah, but that's like just part of your weather forecast, right? It will be sunny and warm in the Bay Area today with minor quakes.
Pretty much. If you want to scare yourself, go to the USGS site and look at all the earthquakes that happen not only here but around the world.
Right? I didn't realize for a long time there's earthquakes in Colorado. We have a fault line that runs like through Golden, Colorado. For those of you that are like, that sounds really familiar. Why would that sound familiar? Well, that
Of
was the
course.
territorial capital for Colorado, and
No,
I'm sure
it's
that's what
Coors
everyone is
beer.
thinking of.
I know
Yeah.
Coors beer is from Golden, right?
Yeah, we try and forget that part.
Hey, 50 years ago, that was considered a good beer compared to Budweiser.
Yeah, well, compared to Budweiser. And
Yeah.
yes, I know Budweiser outside of the United States is a different thing. Here inside the United States,
It's terrible.
terrible. Budweiser, Liquors, both just terrible,
You'd
terrible
better
beers
off
in the US.
drinking turpentine.
Actually, I think you probably would. Well, as long as we're going down the beer path, years ago, so this would have been in the dot-com bubble. I had clients that had so much money that they had no idea what to do with it. So they throw huge extravagant parties. And one of these parties was they rented out the ballroom at Kurz. There's a big entertainment facility at their headquarters. And so we're all there, and they have these mini bar stations set up throughout the whole place. So you can just walk up to one of these, and they're open bars. You just tell them which Kurz product you want, and they pour you a glass, and away you go. And I already knew that I was not a fan of their products. So I walk up to one of the little booths, and so I decided, okay, the one that seems the least
Least
bad
bad.
to me, which I hadn't tried before, was George Killian's Red.
Yeah, it was kind of a hot thing for a while.
And it was a hot thing for a while. Yep. So the guy pours me one, and I take a drink, and I'm like, oh my God, your beer is bad. Like, in it has gone bad. Like, there's an infection or something in the beer. It is bad beer. And the guy's like, oh, we just put the keg on, and maybe there's something in the line. Let me flush this line. And so he does. He pours me another one. I take another drink, and I'm like, oh no, the
Bad.
beer, this is a bad batch of beer. It has to be. And the guy, he's like, no way. So he takes a drink himself, and he's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, oh, here. And I hand him the glass back, and I said, I'll have water. This is really bad beer.
And that was the premium course beer.
And that was the premium Kurz beer. Apparently, I had been served a George Killian's Red by the brewmaster for George Killian's Red. And I offended him personally because his beer was hot garbage.
Oops.
Yeah.
What is it? What is that Reddit called? People dying inside?
And I did not die inside. I found out later, like later
Oh,
on in the party, some one of
okay.
the people hosting the party, they came up to me, and they're like, so we just heard this thing. Did you really tell this guy his beer is
The
crap? And I'm like, yeah, why? And then I found out it's a
brewmaster.
brewmaster. And
Well, I
yeah.
have to admit, I have fond memories of Coors. It was sort of the beer of choice when I was in high school. It was cheap and it wasn't Budweiser. That was basically why we drank it.
Little Mickey's, that was the one around here, because
Mickey's Big Mouth, yeah.
Nick, yep, because Kurz was already here, so we already knew how
Was
bad it was.
bad.
Yeah. So hey, everyone, just so you know, thanks to operating system updates. Of course, I think everyone knows that when I'm recording shows lately, instead of using the back end that Patrice has, the audio just doesn't work. And I was hoping with the latest system update that would fix it. And it turns out it made it worse. I actually cannot get any audio to go into OBS for live streaming at all now. And so instead of spending hours trying to figure out what's going on, I decided today that that we will take the path of least resistance, so the show gets to everyone as quickly as possible. We are just recording today, and the failure to have a live stream today, I place squarely in Apple's lap. It's, yeah. In case you hadn't picked up on this, I'm not a fan of macOS Big Lake. This is not the operating system update that any of us deserved.
Is that because we don't talk about any Apple stuff on the big show? So maybe they're sabotaging the big show?
Oh my God. It all makes sense now.
See?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Tom, it's just the two of us. So, we're going to do what we normally do and talk about the news that we're finding interesting. Everyone, the links will be in the live chat archive. Just not immediately, because here's the sausage part. I have to take everything and pass it off to Patrice, and then she will manually add it to the archive so that you will have access to the links and just not in real time. So, yeah. Anyhow, Tom, what a surprise. You have the first story today. Tell us about this.
I'm faster than everybody else on the panel. So I've been talking about the cost of RAM a lot, and I sort of promised maybe this is the last time. It's
Oh, you say that.
maybe getting a bit repetitive. And part of this is because I'm so pissed off I didn't buy a new computer last year before all this happened. But the latest news is the CFO at HP, I think it's still called HP. Yeah, HP. Just the computer part is still HP. They've been broken up and bought and sold so much, I can't remember. That with their latest PC, the bill of materials, previously the cost of memory was about 18% of the bill of materials for the whole computer. That's all the chips, the PC board, the case, the screen, everything. It was 18%. Now it's 35%. So it gives you some idea of how RAM prices might affect the cost of a PC.
That's
You know,
significant.
so if you add, you know, if they're trying to get like a 20% profit or whatever, you know, that 17 basis points increase from 18 to 35% of the bill of materials. You multiply that by 1.2, and you know, so your PC could potentially, if they pass on all the cost, could be upwards of 25, 20, 30, 40% more expensive, theoretically. Now, I'm
Ouch.
sure they know that, you know, they have to know what the market will bear in terms of how much they can increase and how much of the RAM bill of materials costs are going to have to eat and how much they can pass on. But you can easily see, you know, 10 or 20, maybe 30% price increases, depending on how much RAM you're buying. And I'm sure, I mean, who knows, that's HP and their supply line and what they're paying their suppliers. But I would imagine Dell and everybody else, you know, of course they have their own contracts with memory producers and Apple and everybody else, but it's gonna hit consumers pretty hard, is my point.
I've been seeing a lot of articles that follow the same path about component RAM and storage prices increasing, which follows the whole GPU price increases, tied directly back to the explosive growth of AI data centers.
Right.
And I expect that we're going to see more and more issues in the consumer space because the real market, especially now, for all of these component manufacturers is that enterprise space where all of these data centers are being built. And I can't remember because it's, well, like, I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So, but I think we talked on the big show about in the past couple of weeks about Western Digital.
They're sold out
They're sold out. And
already.
then which com one of the companies they're done with the consumer space.
Corsair, yeah.
Corsair, thank you. Yeah. And yeah, I used to buy Corsair RAM all the time
I think that was Corsair
back
is
in
the
the day.
brand name for one of the memory manufacturers, Toshiba or WD or somebody. That was the consumer brand name for them. You can still find them in stores, you know, they're still in inventory, but they're going to be gone pretty fast.
Yep.
Corsair memory modules. And I'm sure people are panic buying them up anyway.
Yep. Yep. So for those of us on the consumer side, yeah, it's going to become increasingly more difficult to get components that we need. Like if I want to put new hard drives in my Synology, well, I guess I'm not going to Western Digital for those.
Well, and I think this whole thing came out from the CFO from HP because it was during an earnings call, I believe. And I think she had to address the issue pretty quantitatively because the shareholders have been bugging all the manufacturers how the RAM, basically a chip shortage, is going to affect their business. Because it was pretty amazing for them to be pretty specific about what percentage of the bill of materials is due to RAM. They don't normally talk about stuff in that much detail. And then the other potential bad news is related to AI because companies like NVIDIA are sucking up all the capacity from TSMC for their chips because they're so hot and they're making so much money. You know, we know that people are worried about Apple, for example, getting enough capacity to manufacture chips or phones and, you know, the processor chips and so on. But that has a ripple effect. You know, at the high end, the capacity is being sucked up by primarily NVIDIA. And then all those people that can't get that pa capacity at TSMC have to scramble to figure out what to do next. And it's not like there's another supplier that has the equivalent of TSMC. It's not as good.
Right.
And that trickles down all the way through the semiconductor chain and all the different kinds of chips that get manufactured at places like TSMC and Intel and Samsung and a bunch of other smaller companies like GlobalFoundries. It is just, it's like an earthquake has happened. And so I think there are more things to come that are gonna hit consumers in terms of shortage. I mean, you might remember during the pandemic when everybody panicked because car companies couldn't get pretty simple chips.
Yep.
So, you know, you could buy a car, but the heat seat warmer wouldn't work because they couldn't get the chips for the seat warmer or whatever it was. So we'll see how resilient the supply chains are for all these suppliers here.
Well, I mean, they can be super resilient, but at some point you hit a threshold because physics doesn't care, and you can
Right.
manufacture only so much so fast.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that could happen is, you know, the AI bubble gets deflated quite a bit and the demand for the AI stuff slows down. I think that's probably the most likely. I think that'll happen before the supply catches up, to be honest.
I think that's possible, and but then we'll have other economic ripples that come out of that
Right.
because so much of what we have going on right now, it's all the speculative economics of we're pre-ordering all of this with money we don't have yet. So you can make something you don't actually have in stock with materials that you don't have yet.
That's a very robust economic plan.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, and the other thing I wonder is maybe the spending due to AI could bust or slow dramatically down. But I also wonder if 6 months from now some company will announce a 10 or 100x improvement in LLM model training or inference that dramatically reduces the compute requirements for AI. I think that's also possible.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And here's my probably not popular prediction on how that'll play out. I think it'll happen in China.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I mean, there was also, it was a very nerdy thing, and I didn't want to get too nerdy today, but There is basically on a silicon chip is you have a CPU, which is a general purpose processor. You write code and you can write code for anything and it can handle it. You can also design chips that basically can only execute one software program. And you basically hardwire everything. So there's no instruction set, there's no controller that says, oh, I got a bunch of instructions, here's what I do with them. You just say, here's the software, and you basically burn it into the chip, and that's all that chip can do. You turn it on, it can only run, that piece of software. I'm abstracting quite a bit here. But somebody has done that for an AI inference algorithm. And they basically took the code, converted it to a hardware language, and burned it onto a chip. And it's super fast because that's all it does. It doesn't have to do anything else. So you can optimize for the software. And it's all kind of research, and it's only for one algorithm, and the algorithms change all the time. So the problem is if you burn it on a chip and then you can't edit the code, it's there, and it'll cost you $50 million to fix it. So you gotta make sure you burn in the right code. But if the inference and training code kind of settles down and becomes fairly stable and doesn't change too much, if they do that, you could get 10 or 100x improvement in inference or training. So it is possible, but it's not practical yet.
I love it when you talk nerdy to me.
Right, I'll send you a picture of the layout of the chip. That'll get your
That'll get me going right there.
temperature up. Yep.
All right. I guess we should probably hit my story. Yes, surprise, I have a story today. And mine, it's all about Elon Musk.
I think you did you post the wrong link?
Yep, I sure did. But that's only because copy and paste isn't working reliably in macOS Big Lake either. Let's try this one. There we go. Okay. So, here's the deal. There's a town in Mississippi where a bunch of the people are really, really upset because
Holy
Elon
shit.
Musk bought a power plant that had been decommissioned so that he could have his own power generation for his AI servers. Well, to get this thing up and running, they brought in turbine engines, so temporary turbine generators.
Right.
They have 27 of these things set up and running
Holy
24
shit.
hours a day. So imagine 27 jet airplanes parked outside your backyard with the engines throttled up.
I can't imagine.
That's what these
27 of
people have
them.
been listening to for months on end. And so the people in the area, they're like really upset about the whole thing. It's so of course this is a hey, look at the horrible way Elon is treating people in a community
Right.
story. But at the same time, it's a story about how these companies that are trying to get ahead in the AI race are having to go to extreme measures to get the power they need to be able to do their thing.
I can't imagine 27 jets blasting 24 hours a day.
And people are saying, this is where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. Even if I wanted to move out, I can't because no one's going to buy my house.
Right. Well, we've seen that a lot in a lot of communities in the US where data center builds have been proposed, and people are really uptight about that for several reasons. Usually it's they're concerned about the price of electricity and pollution and that kind of stuff, but I never thought about the noise.
Noise for data centers has been a complaint in the past, even before it was all the AI hype.
Yeah, sure.
But still, that this is like especially egregious. But at the same time, if these companies aren't creating their own power plants, then we will see an increasing strain on the existing power infrastructures for the communities where these facilities are.
Yeah, that's been the biggest challenge in data center proposals here in Silicon Valley is the impact on the grid. I think the stat is that the rate of increase for electricity demand in the US was held pretty constant year over year. It would be like a 0.2% increase for like 25 years. And now it's gone up to over, it's like 2.5%, I think, year over year increase for the last 3 years because of things like this, big data centers and so on. So people complain about that. And, in addition to the noise, these things are methane gas powered. And I'm not sure I'd want to live next to a methane gas powered turbine. Let alone 27
Well,
of
the
them.
people in South Haven agree with you. There have been
Yeah.
public hearings where the community has shown up and has been very vocal about something needs to be done. We weren't given a voice in this whole process. It's
Right.
happened way too fast. Now, what XAI wants to do is ultimately replace those methane powered turbines. But it's going to take time for that to happen. And they've burned whatever goodwill they might have had in the community
Right.
for potential jobs and new revenue coming in, because the community now is telling their government leadership, we don't want you to approve the whole process to bring this power plant back up. So not even replace the methane turbines, but just get rid of those, shut the whole thing down. So
Right.
there's a lot of community backlash happening right now.
Well, and isn't Tesla a solar power company too? What happened to all the solar panel that Elon was going to put up everywhere? Oh, it's just that's terrible.
So, yeah, that's and this is just one town in Mississippi. So how many other towns are dealing with similar problems, even if they're not on this scale? Or
Yeah.
how many will be dealing with this as these companies wrangle with the whole thing of we need to make our own power plants to support the infrastructure we're creating, but no one wants any of this around them.
Well, there's a reason why they put data centers, big ones like this with gas turbines in places or counties in Mississippi. If they tried to do that here, it would never happen. There'd be so many people with a lot of money and lawyers that would stop it.
Yeah, Mississippi, Tennessee,
Right.
Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of data center stuff that goes into rural areas out there. And you do see pushback over time from the communities. In many cases, because of the noise, but just the pollution in general that's coming from them.
Yeah, I think it just reinforces my thought in the in my head that orders of magnitude reduction in the cost of AI compute is a must have. There's just no way because in addition to all these kind of problems that this article points out, just the financial side of AI business doesn't work unless they can reduce the cost dramatically. I mean, maybe for enterprise, they can afford, $500 per user per month to pay for tokens. But certainly the consumer business is never going to bear that kind of cost. You know, if you really want AI everywhere, you're going to have 100x, 1000x improvement in the cost.
And at least for the short term, I don't see that happening. And when I
No.
say short term, I'm not talking weeks or months. I'm talking the next few years. That's still short
Yeah.
term for this.
Yeah. I mean, even if somebody has a breakthrough today, it's going to take 3 to 5 years to get it out.
I feel like I should talk about something that's happier, more uplifting,
Yes.
like awe technologies.
That's a good one.
And the reason I want to talk about them is because awe technologies is giving back to the community in a good way by supporting us. Awe technologies is making sure that we have the resources to live stream every single week and to have a place for our website and to have a place for show files to live so that you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want, over and over. Because let's be honest, you can never get enough of Tom. I totally get it. I'm there with you.
My wife might disagree.
Well, I guess she doesn't know you the way we do. The resources that they're making sure we have are vital, and we couldn't do what we do without their help. So thank you to Awe Technologies for being here and supporting us. And for those of you that don't know what they do, all that means is that you just haven't been paying attention when I've talked about them in the past, and that's okay. I'll get you up to speed now. What they do is provide the remote monitoring tools for whatever your site is. So, like if you're doing a major construction site, you need to monitor activity on railroad tracks or their shipping lanes. This is the kind of thing that they do. So you can monitor everything that you need to stay on top of from wherever you are, and they're really good at it. So if that's something you need, then go check out their website and hit them up. Awe Technologies, it's AWE technologies.co.uk. Thanks, Awe Technologies, for being here and supporting us. And if Patrice was around, this is the part where the show becomes a little more highbrow because she's so much better about talking about the live chat than I am. But I'm going to do my best to muddle through. So first we have this really great live stream, live chat unified into a single window. You just go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and you'll see the live stream and you'll see the live chat. So the conversations that we have on the days when macOS Big Lake isn't preventing us from being able to fully live stream, you can interact with us in real time and then you'll see all the links to articles that we discuss, to cool things that we talk about. All of that ends up in there. So what will happen today is the next part of what goes along with all that, which is being able to see those chats after the fact. That's all archived. So the links for everything we talk about today will end up there. So you'll still have access to that, even though we're not live streaming for today's episode. So for that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And there's a calendar there. Just click on the date. And so for today, that would be Thursday, February 26, 2026. And then you'll see the links for everything that we talk about on the show today. And Patrice, she's the one who completely modernized our live stream and live chat system. So thanks for doing that, Patrice. So somehow I managed to muddle through that.
Very good.
Now it is time for us to do some cool things. And oh my gosh, I am so surprised. Tom, you have the first cool thing today.
I'm really on it today.
You are so on it.
My cool thing today is a podcast episode. It's from Freakonomics. And it's an episode about, oh, I didn't post the right episode. Anyway, the episode is about the use of technology in the medical industry. And it's really interesting to hear about certainly the use of AI, but also they have a lot of information about the back end of the healthcare system and how they talk a lot about one company in particular, Epic, which is an American company based in Wisconsin, I think.
Epic is big in the medical
Huge.
industry space.
Huge. And the story of Epic is pretty interesting. And there some of their epic, quote, pun intended, failures in two or three European countries, including the UK, where they tried to replace existing systems or upgrade them and created disasters for the doctors and the healthcare systems. But I found it very interesting. It's not a technical podcast, it's an economic podcast, but the information is really fascinating. And I'm sure Patrice knows this stuff inside and out. And I kind of picked this cool thing for her. Anyway, it's a great episode to listen to if you kind of want to understand what normie economic people think about the technology behind that's being deployed in the medical business.
So is that the are thousands of medical cures hiding in plain sight? Is that the episode?
Oh, I gotta find the right one here. It's the 661.
Can AI save your life?
Yeah, I think that's the right one.
Okay.
I'll get the right one in here.
Cool. I like Freakonomics. I don't listen to them all the time, but every time someone tells me about a specific episode that they found really interesting, I have found it interesting as well.
Yeah, it's a little hit or miss. Some are not that interesting.
Well, that's why I listen just to the ones my friends tell me to.
Yeah.
So thank you for filtering through the rest of them so that I know which ones to spend time on. Cool. All right. So I'm not going to go nearly as highbrow and intellectual as you did, but I will go fun. And I'm going to go
Fun's
Star
good.
Wars today. Some of the most compelling Star Wars storytelling historically has been through their animated series. Like the Clone Wars series, which was what 7 seasons, and has some amazing storylines in it. And one of the things that came out of that animated series was the return of Darth Maul, or at this point Maul, because he's not a Sith Lord anymore. And so Disney is launching a new Darth Maul animated series on April 6th, and it's called Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord. And so this is what's happening in Maul's life after Order 66 and the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Empire. And if you've seen other live action Star Wars properties that take place after the fall of the Republic. There's little points along the way where you discover or where you see that Darth Maul, excuse me, Maul is a like a leader in the underworld. And so this follows his I guess life in becoming that leader. And there's been talk about how this will mold the character into someone different than we have seen before as the just the I'm gonna cut up Jedi guys type of character. And we did get to see a lot more nuance to this character in Clone Wars, and then again in Star Wars Rebels. And so now we get to explore that even more in Maul Shadowlord starting April 6. I am very much looking forward to this show.
I like the branding of the logo, Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord. It's very ominous.
It is very ominous. And yes, so it's on Disney Plus, of course. And yeah, so if you don't have Disney Plus, go find a friend or get creative.
I think you and Patrice do the rewatchables. Retro
Retro Rewatch.
rewatch for Stargate, which you never saw. That
Right?
was that's sort of the hook, right?
Yep.
You know, I've still only ever seen the original Star Wars movie. I've never seen
Interesting.
any other Star Wars related video.
Well, then you're in for a treat because, well, I mean, the original Star Wars is iconic and changed the industry
Yep.
of
What a great movie.
filmmaking, entertainment,
Yep.
merchandising, sci-fi in general. I mean, it was truly a keystone point. And there's been some really great stuff that has come since. And it's if you want to like totally nerd out on this and you're willing to watch episodes 1, 2, and 3, what I would do, because I think it would be a very compelling way to watch the Star Wars franchise for the first time. What you watch Star Wars, you watch Empire Strikes Back, go back and watch episodes 1, 2, and 3, and then watch Return of the Jedi, because it'll give you a totally different perspective on Return of the Jedi
Is that
than
basically a chronological order?
no.
Oh.
So it's like you do 2 episodes, and then you have a 3 episode flashback,
I see.
and then come back. I think that would be a very interesting way to watch it. But then if you're really going to do that, you watch S Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back, the first two, like Episode 1 and Episode 2, then watch all of the Clone Wars animated series except for the last season. Then watch the last episode of the or so watch Episode 3. Then watch the last season of the Clone Wars animated series, and then come back up and watch. I know I'm making it way too difficult. Just watch Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and call it good. You're missing out on a lot of other awesome stuff, but that set right there is.
Course, I don't have Disney Plus either, so I'd have to invest in a couple of months of that, maybe.
Yeah, well, I bet you have friends somewhere.
That's okay. I turned off Apple TV for 4 or 5 months ago because I kind of burned through everything there, so I have an open slot on streaming, so maybe.
And that's the way a lot of people are doing it now. They're just like, I'm done with the shows there. Gonna pick up this streaming service instead. Done there. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, it seems to be about a year. You know, I think I will be interested in picking up Apple TV again in a couple of months.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff that's coming out. Like if as long as you don't have to see something the day it comes out, maybe
Yeah.
wait to the end of summer, because for
Right,
Apple
that's a good
TV,
idea.
because you'll have multiple shows that have already come out, and then you'll be coming into the fall season of shows as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. 'Cause I'm the kind of guy I know people have different preferences. I like to sort of binge watch or watch when I want to. If I want to watch 3 episodes tonight, I'll watch 3 episodes. So I like to have the whole season ready for me to watch.
I'm with you on that.
I think it's because we grew up with that thing where you couldn't do that when, you know, for 90% of my life, the fact that you can do that, binge watch or watch whenever you want, basically it's watch on demand for everything, is still to me such a gift. I love
I
it.
am so with you on that. Yeah, the whole notion that we had our lives revolving around television programming schedules at one point.
It's Thursday at 9. I have to watch Cheers.
Right. Yeah, that's how it was, kids, back in the day. And
Right.
then when VCRs came out and you could record
Yeah, that's
something,
true. Yeah.
I mean, that
That was
definitely
a
helped.
revelation. Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a very big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah. I will be suffering through an episode a week with Maul Shadow Lord because that's how they're going to release it.
Yeah. And you can't
Which,
wait 6 or 7 weeks.
no, because there's people that I know that will be watching it that will want to talk about it. And some of those people do not understand the concept of spoilers and will absolutely ruin the
That's
series for me.
okay. It's also fun to follow along with other people that are watching in the same time frame that you are. That's fun too.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we are, I think, at the point where it's okay for us to wrap up.
We can wrap up.
Yeah. And then I guess get on with complaining about how we never got to have a winter this year. Some of us didn't. Eastern US, they've had more than their fair
Plenty of
share of
winter.
winter. Yeah. They're in the middle of it again right now. And spoiler, I'm not wearing pants right now. Shorts, people. I'm wearing shorts, okay? It's, jeez. Anyhow, Tom, when you're not fretting over my wardrobe, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. And then for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, most active on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Thursdays for Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices. Nope, that's Tuesdays. Tuesdays for Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays for Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here for the big show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Then Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And as Tom mentioned, Patrice and I do Retro Rewatch. And you're going, I'm having so much fun with that. And our prediction episode for the new season or the latest season that we're watching is out. And the predictions are all mine because I haven't seen the episodes before. And we also talk about my predictions for the previous season and how those played out. So if you want to see how horribly wrong I can be with the predictions, but when I nail it, it's like, holy crap, you nailed it. That doesn't happen hardly ever. And I expect for those of you that have seen Stargate SG-1 previously, when you hear my predictions for season four, you're just going to laugh and laugh. Anyhow, wow, Tom, this has been lots of fun, and I think this is proof that we don't always have to have a big group of people for the show. We can just have fun hanging out and chatting ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad we could do this. Hey, everyone that watches or listens live on the days when my technology allows us to do that, thank you for being a part of this. All of you that participate in the live chat, thank you for that as well. Everyone that watches and listens to show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. All of you are awesome. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, hey, everyone, tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. And that one will probably be live because Patrice is back. I won't be here tomorrow. Sorry. And then come back again next Thursday for the big show. And all of you have an awesome weekend.